So if you were a fan of Stranger Things, maybe Game of Thrones, and you hadn't really played Dungeons & Dragons in a while, maybe you got the urge to play again.
You carry the heads out of the dungeon victorious, and you present them to King Tristan. He thanks you for your bravery and service.
Whoa. That's not it, is it?
No, there's a medal ceremony.
Oh, a medal ceremony? What are you talking about?
Yeah, man, the campaign was way too short.
Yeah, it was 10 hours!
But it doesn't make any sense.
It makes sense.
Oh, no, what about the Lost Knight?
And the Proud Princess? And those weird flowers in the cave?
I don't know, it's...
Oh, jeez, what's that smell? You guys been playing games all day or just farting?
10 hours isn't that long, I've learnt. Dungeons and Dragons is our game of choice today. Melissa Rodginson is board game researcher at the University of Melbourne and chair of Board Games Australia Best International Game Jury. Melissa, D&D, as they call it.
As they do.
You're a fan, and this has got a big connection to you and your life now.
It does indeed. I went to my first Dungeons and Dragons convention when I was 13 and I met this guy. And as they say, the rest is history.
We met at D&D and that's it. For those that have never played Dungeons and Dragons, it's a relatively newish game, but what is it? How does it work?
So Dungeons and Dragons came out of kind of the complex miniatures games that people used to enjoy playing, and many people still do. But instead of focusing on rules, D&D focuses on the story. So it's all about a group of people coming together, sitting around a table, sitting around a sofa, and telling stories together with some rules to just add that little bit of unsurety, I suppose, that little bit of chance into the game. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to do this wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. You actually have some rules to work out whether you can.
So where would you start? I mean, it does involve certain things like figurines. There's a dice or a die that's got many sides.
Yeah, D&D was actually the second game, as far as I can tell, to use those many-sided dice.
So what does the dice have to do with Dungeons & Dragons?
So the dice are all about that element of chance. Maybe you need to try to attack a monster, or you need to break down a door. And rather than just letting people kind of make it up and say, oh, well, I'm very strong, so I break down the door, that sort of tends to be devolved to the dice. So you roll dice to see maybe how hard you hit the door or how much damage you do to it, whether you're able to open it.
And who sets those perimeters? So if you're playing with, say, a group of four or six, would I say to you, Melissa, okay, well, my character now is going to try and barge through this castle. Do you say, well, hang on a second, I don't know if you can do that, or, you know, where do we know to roll, I guess?
Yeah, so one player takes on the role of what's called the Dungeon Master. And the Dungeon Master is kind of the storyteller or the world builder for this story.
That's great, isn't it?
Kind of have this idea of what can happen, what's possible, what people might find in a city or a town or a dungeon that they're exploring. And they can either make up their own story or they can buy a story pack, which is already designed, so they're not making it up as they go along.
As you become more accustomed to playing, do you find that people sort of steer off the storyline that's set and you can start to write your own?
I think so, and I think that's part of the charm of these games, that you're not just playing something from start to finish. So it's not like reading a book where you start in one place, you finish in another place, and you always take the same pathway to get from A to B.
Have you started Dungeons and Dragons just of late? Maybe you've always played, or maybe you played, you know, throughout university or primary school, and what is it about it that you love? 1-300-222-774. And I also want to know, what's the longest campaign, I've learnt that word today, that a Dungeons and Dragons game has taken? We've had 4 months, we've had one that ran 12 months. So what's the longest Dungeons and Dragons campaign you've had? 1-300-222-774. Why is it called a campaign?
So it's called a campaign because it's more than just a single game. If you're telling these exciting stories, Dungeons and Dragons is very much about high fantasy, big stories that take a lot of time to tell. And if you're telling those stories, they're often not over in one night. You can't play through them in one single evening. So instead, you might arrange to play with people every week or every month. And over the course of time, you will kind of complete one story. And that's what we call a campaign. So it's lots of little sessions adding up to one big one. Think of it a bit like maybe you're playing through a chapter of a book every time you meet.
I'll never forget my ex, and I was like, I'm going to bed. You guys are nuts. You know, this is so not my scene. Waking up the next morning, and I'm like, are you still playing? Did you play throughout the night? And they're all this like bleary-eyed, and, you know, it went for days.
Yeah, it can be really exciting because you get really kind of caught up in this world that you're creating and these stories that you're writing. So just like somebody who's writing a book might stay up all night, you know, finishing their pivotal chapter. It's the same when you're playing D&D.
How does your character come to life, the miniature? Where does that fit in?
So you start by rolling dice. So you start by rolling different attributes of your character. And depending on those attributes, you might end up with a fighter who's particularly strong, so they're very good at fighting, or a character who's particularly sneaky, who's good at doing things like picking locks. Yeah, I can see you like that one. Or maybe you have a character who's very smart. And as in many high fantasy stories, they then go off and they study to become a magic user, and they can cast spells that will help their party.
And do you then continue to use that miniature in whichever campaign you play, or if your miniature dies off, do you have to pop it up onto the mantelpiece?
Yeah, well, it depends on the group. You know, some groups will take their character and they will use their character in lots of different stories. Finish one campaign, let's play another one. But maybe you finish one campaign, you've got lots of treasure, and you decide that, well, actually, I'm going to retire now. You know, my character's had enough
done,
of fighting. That's right.
Time I'm loaded. I'm 45. I'm going to kick back.
I'm the queen now. I'm happy with that. So, you know, they may settle for doing that, and then you might create a new character. Or, as you say, your character might die and then you need to bring in someone new. So some people will even have a couple of characters on the go at once, just in case.
Is that frowned upon?
Oh, you know, I think it depends on who you're playing with, and I think that's part of the joy of playing these games, is that you might be playing Dungeons and Dragons with one group. You might be playing another role-playing game with another group. So you might be playing something like The Call of Cthulhu, which is a game that's set in the 1920s and based on the horror stories by an American called H.P. Lovecraft. And so, you know, one night a week you're fighting dragons and defending dungeons and things. And the other week, maybe you're exploring Sydney. I went to the launch a couple of weeks ago of a new Australian source book for The Call of Cthulhu, which is, it's almost like a travel guide to 1920s Australia, with descriptions of the cities, with costs of what you might have paid for clothes, for travel, for all different things. So it's really kind of about immersing yourself in this different world.